Because in one way, to me, it's wonderful. Well, I can't think of a better Sunday to worship with each other than the celebration of our Lord's birthday. But hope you all had a wonderful morning and a wonderful afternoon. Since I'm a preacher, I get to tell my story. Last night, our granddaughter, works at the Magic Time Machine there in Addison, that old schoolhouse building. And we had Christmas at our house, but it was so funny because she had to come, but she had to leave early to be at work by 3. And all we had was just snack food, some chips and stuff like that. And she made a comment. She said, "Well, we're not going to eat anything." And then we all show up there, about 18 of us, and at her table. And she even started crying. She said, "Oh." She said, "Now I know why we didn't eat." She said, "But I'm still hungry." So we had a wonderful time last night with our granddaughter. And okay, let's see for announcements. We got one from our listener in Austria, Australia. Christopher Brown asked us to put his father, Clifford Brown, on our prayer list as for heart strength and salvation. So that's a very important one. Also asked to be put on prayer himself as he deals with a lot of issues that he's going through. So let's be in prayer for Clifford Brown, his father, and himself. Now, any other prayer requests this Christmas morning that we have? We need to be in prayer for Thomas. And Jimmy, how are you doing this morning? Doing fine? Well, we're in prayer for your condition and all and things that are going on. So we definitely are in prayer. And so no other P.S.
I'll fix it.
Thank you.
She's praying for AC.
Yeah.
Only in Texas.
Yeah. What, 70 degrees?
Oh, yeah, I can feel it already. Good. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Okay, no other prayer request? So let's just be in prayer for each other.
For Johnny.
Oh, yes, let's be in prayer for Johnny, Terry's father. He's not doing very well at all. And seeing like he's passing weak, it gets a little worse. So please be in prayer for Johnny at this time. Yes, sir. Your daughter. Be in prayer for Gigi's daughter. And the Lord knows what needs to be done there. And any other prayer requests? The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give not grudgingly. The Lord loves a gracious giver. Giver sees a need, meets that need, and it's our purpose to spread the gospel to unbelievers and believers in all the ways that God has given us. Now, I ran off this morning and left on my desk a very important calendar. I got this week from John Hintz. The Risley calendar. If you want to know what true missionaries are about, I don't mean where they go in and stay in some other nice place and then go in and minister in the village. I'm talking about missionaries that stay in the village, live in the village, work in the village, and spread the gospel. This is a fabulous calendar this year, and I'll bring them New Year's Eve night, next Saturday night. And we'll have those here, but you'll be able to see what a real missionary family is like, all that they do. Their daughter, Courtney, runs a clinic. She's a doctor, graduated in Mexico, and she has a clinic there and a ministry. And many people are saved through that ministry. And every one of the members of the family are leading people to Christ. And then Pat Risley has put together a series of little children's, or not children's actually, because they're studies in Spanish. You might want to take a look at them. In Spanish, very simple, but they love it. And some of them live in little homes without air conditioner, without electricity or plumbing. They have no books, but they've got these booklets in there, and they are so proud of them. And they read them all the time and study them all the time. So I'll try to remember to bring those Saturday night so you can have them. Yes?
Just another reminder on the New Year's Eve. If you can bring a little finger food, bring it. If not, we'll probably have some. But we're going to have punch and going to have a nice time and dress up and be ready for your next party.
We'll start at 7, and we'll be through at 9, so you can make it to all the hot spots afterward, and I can be in bed by 10. All right. So that'll be New Year's Eve, next Saturday night. We'll start at 7, have communion somewhere around 9. And then we will have the next morning. Now, what we're going to be doing this morning and Saturday night and next Sunday morning will be a special that I'm going to be doing. So all three will go together at that time. So the Word of God declares that God loveth a gracious giver, not giving grudgingly or because you have to, because you want to. With these things in mind, let us prepare ourselves for the offering. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for your grace. The gifts that we receive and give are but a token of the greatest gift given to us, our Savior, who came, Heavenly Father, as one of us, died on a cross, and rose again that we might live forever. We are so thankful, Heavenly Father, for such a gift. It is a gift that we receive and enjoy every day of our lives. And Father, we pray now that you'll receive the offerings that we're about to give. You'll continue to use this humble assembly in 2017 in spreading the gospel to both believer and unbeliever, to young people, internet, missionaries, and right here in our own assembly. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. All right, we have a very important study for the next, including this hour and the next 2 hours. And so let's begin with the word of prayer, and then we're going to have some scripture reading. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we can study your word for 5 lifetimes and still not cover all that is there, even in regard to the birth of your Son. Pray, Father, this morning, your Spirit will open our eyes to things you would have us to see, and we will take warning of what happened in history. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Ed Lacey is going to come and read, and then Chris Day will come and read, and then Kit. Okay.
This is Isaiah 7. 13 and 14. Then he said, "Listen now, O house of David. Is it too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men, that you will try the patience of my God as well? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." Then in Micah 5, 2 through 5. "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Therefore he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel. And he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, and the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will remain, because at that time he will be great, to the ends of the earth. This one will be our peace. When the Assyrian invades our land, when he tramples on our citadels, then he will raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 leaders of men.
The next reading will be from Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and watching, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there was born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them.
The nation of Israel missed it miserably, and they're paying for it today. They missed it in spite of a multitude of Old Testament prophecies. Now, the message we're going to look at for this Christmas is don't you miss it. In spite of multiple commands and challenges, Many Christians are missing it today. Now, Israel missed it at the very presence of Jesus Christ himself, and they turned him over to be crucified. As we look at a few of the Old Testament prophecies of Christmas, the coming of their King Messiah, many protest that scholars today that they could not have understood these prophecies as referring to the Messiah. People, yes, they could, and I'm going to show you that. Yes, they could. I love to study the Word of God every day that I can. But throughout the history of Israel, there was a school, scribes and Pharisees. That's all they did. They studied the Torah, the law. They studied the poetic books, the history books, the prophets. And certainly, they understood. And they had the Holy Spirit, just as we have, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Now, they could have known all of this and recognized him when he came. Now, I'm going to pick just a few of the prophecies of the coming birth of their Messiah King. The first one was given to them over 1,200 years before his birth. Over 1,200 years before his birth. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Verse 14. This is in the section of the curses administered by God after the fall in Genesis in the garden. And he has a curse for Satan or the serpent, for the woman, and for the man. But let's take a look. In Genesis 3:14, the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, come into the garden, and caused man to fail, because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle, and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you will go, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. So in the garden, the serpent wasn't a little snake crawling around. I suspect that he was a magnificent looking creature who could communicate. And that would have not been unusual. It would be unusual to us today if your dog started speaking to you. But not to Adam and Eve. They didn't know what things were supposed to be and not be. And so she worked up this conversation with the serpent. Verse 15. Here it is. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed, the serpent's seed, and her seed, Jesus Christ. He shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel. New Testament fulfilled in three different passages to fulfill this one verse. Let's look first of all at Galatians 4. Galatians 4. Verse 4. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Now, I want you to know we're scoped this morning, because right now we can go off in a super study being born of a woman in the study of Job. And where Satan says, how can that be born of a woman be pure or righteous? All of this is very important to history. But we're just dealing with the prophecy in Genesis chapter 3, its fulfillment, Galatians 4:4. Also, it's fulfilled, Hebrews 2:14. That's one part of its fulfillment, born of a woman. Hebrews 2:14. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same flesh and blood, that through death he might render powerless or destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. So this is in the fulfillment of what Christ would do to his heel. Now it is said. Now, complete the prophecy. 1 John 3. First John 3, verse 8. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. So, in Genesis 3, we have the prophecy. The fulfillment is in three different passages in the New Testament. Let's look at a second prophecy. He would be of the tribe of Judah. He would be of the tribe of Judah. Let's look at Genesis 49. Genesis 49. Verse 8. Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Oh, the context, this is when Jacob is giving the blessings to his 12 sons. So here we have it. He comes to Judah. Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons shall bow down to you. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, you have gone up. He crouches, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion who dares rouse him up. Now, verse 10 is important. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. Now, Shiloh, if you have the New American Standard with the marginal notes, you have the understanding of Shiloh. Until he comes to whom it belongs. Until he comes to whom it belongs, and that is the scepter. So, they understood what is going on with the tribe of Judah in this prophecy. Now, so that you don't miss, this one is repeated. Look at Micah, chapter 5. Micah, where in the world is Micah? Got a table of content. You got a table of content. It's in the Old Testament. It's near the end of the Old Testament. Oh, it's the Old Testament, end of it. So, Micah, chapter 5. I love to see people opening the Word of God, looking for Him. Where is that? Where is that? Jimmy has a new Bible. Only it's not new. He actually bought it for his son years ago, but he never gave it to him. So he pulled it out, and he's using it now for himself. So Micah chapter 5, and we're just going to read verse 2. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from out from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. How could you miss that? His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. They understood this perfectly. All right, New Testament fulfillment. New Testament fulfillment. At his birth, Matthew chapter 1. Verse 1. Matthew 1, 1. The record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah. the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Verse 2, Abraham was the father of Abraham, Isaac, the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah, verse 3, was the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Perez was the father, and it goes forth. But here is Judah right in the midst of it. I really enjoy now reading Matthew 1 in a special way. Some time ago, Brian St. Clair and Jennifer told me to just put it into the computer when we were studying Isaiah 53 at our Wednesday night class. Just put in Isaiah 53. And so we put it in, and there's just all of these Jews giving their testimony of coming to the realization that this Jesus is their Messiah. And these are adults, and they found it as adults. And I love it. Someone would say, I was told, I've been told all my life, the New Testament is our enemy, Jesus is our enemy, all these kind of things. And then I dared to open the New Testament, the first verse in the New Testament. I know these people. I know them. It says, son of David. I know him. Abraham. I'm familiar with that name. Isaac, Jacob, Judah. I know all these people. And he says, I began to realize that Jesus is my Messiah. And he's prophesied and talked about. And it's really fun. You want to just have fun reading testimony, hearing testimonies, do that. Just go into Isaiah 53, that's it. And tap on it and go to the testimonies and just pick them out. They are just super. And they're so interesting. One of them was in California, and he had been fighting this for a long time. And he met this gal, and so she said, something about, I want to take you, we're going to go to the beach. And it was a Sunday. He said, okay, a beach. Went to the beach. And he said he got to the beach, and Hal Lindsey was there at the beach talking. And he said, I sat there and listened. And then there was a Jew that I knew was a Jew, got up and gave words of the communion that they were going to take on the beach. Those were words out of the Old Testament. I knew those words. And he said, it just baffled me. I went home and I couldn't sleep the whole night. And finally opened up the Bible and read Matthew chapter 1, and it blew my mind and led me to the Lord. So it's just a wonderful chapter to read from a Jewish standpoint. We read it and we go, oh, the records, you know, Jesus is the Messiah, yeah, son of David, yeah, son of David. It doesn't mean anything that much to us. But if you're a Jew and you've been taught all your life about Abraham, about David, about Jacob and Judah, and then to read that this Jesus, whom you've been told is your enemy, it's shocking, really shocking. Okay, let's add to the Matthew 1:1. Let's add Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7. By the way, one of the best passages to use if you ever just have the time to sit down and talk to a Jew and you're witnessing to him, have him read Isaiah 53. That wakes him up. That's a shocker. It can't be anyone but their Messiah. All right, let's look at Hebrews chapter 7, verse 14. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, a tribe with reference to which Moses spoke nothing concerning priests, and he's going to be the king priest. Let's add to that one more. Revelation 5. Revelation 5. Revelation 5. That's the last book in the Bible. After you get through with the maps and concordances and everything. Revelation 5, verse 5. And one of the elders said to me, stop weeping. Behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book of the seven seals. Okay? They knew he was to be born of a woman. They knew not some alien, not just something that appeared, going to be born of a woman. Then they knew he was going to be of the tribe of Judah. They knew these two things. But let's go to the third one. He was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea. There are several Bethlehems. Bethlehem of Judea. And they knew where he would be born. Let's first of all look at Micah. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Micah 5, 2. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah. In other words, just a little town out there, little community, not a metroplex. From you, one will go forth for me to be ruler of Israel. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. You got to think through that as a theologian in the Old Testament even. This means he existed in eternity past. I don't understand how that could happen, but I understand that much. Verse 3. Therefore, he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor, Israel, has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel. And he, verse 4, and he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. You know what? That means Gentiles. He's not just coming for us. No, it can't be. You're wrong. You're wrong, Aaron. You're wrong. You're reading it wrong. It can't be the whole world. It's got to be just the Jews. No, it's just to the ends of the earth here. And I could just hear these Jews in their battle, the scribes and the Pharisees as they studied. And I'm talking about centuries ago in the Old Testament. No, it's just the Jews. No, it says here, Gentiles, all the nations. And I'm sure they had their little battles and arguments and all these things to it. Then verse 5, this one will be our peace. Uh-oh, there's our, Jewish. When the Assyrian invades our land, when he tramples on our citadels, then we will raise up against him 7 shepherds and 8 leaders of men. When you hear, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Now, when you go to Israel, you'll see that sign a lot. You don't see it a whole lot here, but there's some places you do see it here. Pray for the peace of Israel. They're not talking about political peace. They're talking about the return of the Messiah. That's what that sign means. Pray for the return of the Messiah. He is the peace of Israel. Now, this prophecy is fulfilled in the New Testament. And I want you to pay special attention to the context. Let's look at Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew 2, verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, fulfillment of prophecy, in the days of Herod the king, probably 3 or 4 B.C., 3 or 4 B.C., Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Now stop right here. Those critics who like to say there's no way they could have known this. Here are Gentiles. Gentiles who got this probably from Daniel and has been passed down since the days of Daniel. And they've been looking and anticipating. And they knew. So look at verse 2. Where is he who is born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. Gentiles from the east come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, because he's the king, and all Jerusalem with him. All the Jews started being troubled. Verse 4, Herod, gathering together all the chief priests, and scribes of the people, he inquired of them, where is the Messiah to be born? People, this is historically phenomenal. At this time in history, Herod asked, where is the Messiah to be born? I want you to note they didn't say, we don't know. Look what they say. Now pay close attention to verse 5. They said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for this is what has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. I hope you see it. This is phenomenal. This is incriminating to them. They have just sentenced themselves here. They just said, we're guilty here. We know. See, they knew. They studied Scripture. There was no doubt. It doesn't say they went away and studied. They answered him. They knew this in their understanding, where the Messiah was to be born. So when someone tries to tell you they could not have understood the prophecies of the Old Testament, this passage is proof they did. There is no way you can get around it. They knew. Herod says, where is the Messiah to be born? Boom, Bethlehem of Judea. They knew it exactly where he was to be born. So you can just don't argue with them, but know they are wrong. They knew then. They rejected and ignored him. They knew these passages, either rejected them or ignored them. Okay, now, the fourth one, the fourth prophecy I want us to look at. He would be born of a virgin. Born of a virgin. Let's look at Isaiah 7. Verse 13. Then he said, Isaiah 7, verse 13. Then he said, listen now, O house of David. Is it too slight a thing for you to try the patience of men, that you will try the patience of God as well? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Now, there's a lot in this verse. And as you've noticed, we're not studying this word by word and all. The word virgin in the Hebrew. Oh, the scholars, that doesn't mean a girl has never had sex. That just refers to a young maiden, all of that. Okay, let me tell you something. Be honest with the Hebrew. It can mean that. It can refer to a girl, young girl that's never had sex. It can refer just to a young maiden. We have proof of what it means. Let's look at the fulfillment. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Now remember, this is a sign. So, if it's just a young maiden, that's not that big of a sign. Young maidens are always having babies. See? So that, it isn't that. This has to be something special. Something unique. This is a young lady, about 15 years old, that's never had sex. So let's take a look at it. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed, engaged to Joseph, before they came together sexually, there it is. They have not had sex. She was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. So this word refers to a young maiden who's never had sex. Now let's look at Luke chapter 1. For further proof. Luke 1, verse 26. Matthew, Mark, Luke 1, verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin, Greek word, a young lady without having sexual intercourse, engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. Uh-oh, there's another fulfillment. There'll be a woman, there'll be a virgin woman in the line of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Now, I hate to tell you, I love the name Mary, but it's not a really flattering name. It means contentious, a woman who's contentious. So if you're going to name your child Mary, be careful. You might be rearing a contentious young child. All right, verse 28. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one." It should be graced one. "The Lord is with you." But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering, what kind of salutation was this? The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." Wow. Think a 15-year-old girl hearing this. Now, let me tell you right now, though she's 15, she's just not an ordinarily picked girl. If one year we studied, this little girl knew a lot of Scripture. She knew a lot of the Old Testament. She knew a lot about the prophecy. She knew what this meant. She was well prepared because of her understanding of Scripture of what all of this meant. Now, verse 32, "And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Judah forever." Forever! Wow! Think about that from their mind. This is going to go on and on. When we die, it's not over. This is forever. And his kingdom will have no end. Now, here we go. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be since I'm a virgin? I've not had sex with Joseph or anyone, and I'm a virgin. How can it be?" So, the debate over this Greek word is solved right here. She's not had any kind of sexual intercourse with anyone, and therefore, how could she possibly be virgin? Now, I understand that in history, a few daughters have tried to tell their parents, "Mary and I had something in common." But don't believe that, daddies. That's not true. All right. Now, let's look at verse 35. "The angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God.'" It's remarkable for a 15-year-old. But the point here is, she's a virgin. She's pregnant. with this child. Okay, let's go to the fifth one. The fifth prophecy we're going to look at, rather mean, we're not going to cover near all of them at all. I just picked out some of what I think are the prominent ones for our study. Okay, kings shall come and bring him gifts and fall down and worship him. Kings shall come, bring him gifts, and fall down and worship him. Okay, look at Psalm 72. Now we have the hymn, We Three Kings of Orient, but we know from the New Testament they're not kings, they're magi. And if you're going to be honest with the text, you've got to consider this. You can't just say, well, magi, king, what does it matter? Yes, it does matter. To us who believe the inerrancy, infallibility of Scripture. So let's see what we have going on. King, Psalm 72, verse 10. Let the kings of Tarshish and the islands bring presents, the kings of Sheba and Seba offer gifts. Let all kings bow down before him, all nations observe him. Now we have that wonderful hymn, We Three Kings of Orient Are, bearing gifts, we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. O star of wonder, star of light, star of royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy whole, thy perfect light. Born a king on Bethlehem's plains, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, ceasing never, over all of us reign. You're welcome that I didn't sing it. I just read it. Okay. Now, okay. Beautiful. But let's look at Matthew chapter 2, the fulfillment of this. We have a little problem, maybe. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem. Now, the Greek word magi is the Greek word magos. And out of a Greek lexicon, magi, the name for priests and wise men among the Medes, the Persians, and the Babylonians. Continuing reading out of a lexicon, great, powerful men. Now, the margin of the NASB says a caste of wise men specializing in astronomy and natural science. So, these are powerful men. Now, that's what it says in our passage in Matthew. Let's go back to Psalm 72. Let's go back to Psalm 72 a moment. Let's look at the word translated kings. The word is melek, M-E-L-E-K. Now let me just tell you something about this word. It occurs over 2,500 times. No, I didn't read them. But the computer age, that's what they say. This word appears over 2,500 times in the New Testament. It is a, right out of a lexicon, it is a general term, sometimes referring to the kings, sometimes to the consort of the king. Therefore, it is no problem with magi being the ones bearing these gifts. They are a powerful people. They are a wise group of people. And so the New Testament and the Old Testament are not in contradiction. They line up perfectly if you understand the language. All right, let's look up the sixth. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, what about them coming and bearing the gifts? All right. We don't have the record of them, but I guarantee they did. He didn't list them all. Okay? Now, one more prophecy. Born the stated seed, the declared seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The stated seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now let's look. You can read this. Let's just read a couple of them, not all of them. Genesis 17. Let's look at Genesis 17. Genesis 17, and let's just read 7 and 8. Genesis 17, 7 and 8. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojourns, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Speaking to the descendants. Now let's look at Genesis 26. Genesis 26, 3 and 4. Verse 3, Genesis 26, 3 and 4. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and to your descendants, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swore to your father Abraham. And I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and will give your descendants all these lands, and by your descendants all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Now, I don't know if you're aware of it, but about 2 months ago, this is December, 2 or 3 months ago, the UN declared, and it passed majority vote, Israel has no historical claim, or the Jews have no historical claim to Israel. None whatsoever. Now, the head of that particular agency is a woman, and she came out and she said, this is wrong. That's what she told them. She said, their whole history is in that land. But they voted that Israel has no right to that land by history, making the way for it to be a Palestinian land, who have no claim to it whatsoever. Now, the New Testament. Well, let me just give you the New Testament references. Matthew 1, 1 and 17, which we've studied. Galatians 3, 16 and 29. Hebrews 2, 16. That Isaac is part of this promise. You can read Genesis 17, 19. Genesis 21, 12. Genesis 26, 2 and 4. New Testament fulfillment, Matthew 1, 2, and 17. Romans 9, 7. Hebrews chapter 11, 17 through 29, through 19. Jacob, Genesis 28, 13 and 14. Numbers 24, 17 and 19. Numbers chapter 24, verses 17 and 19. New Testament fulfillment of Jacob, Matthew 1, 2, Luke 1, 20, 1, 33, and Luke 3, 23 through 38. Okay, what's the purpose of all we've been doing? The Jews had all this info and much more that I did not include to look forward to identify their Messiah. There were Gentiles in the East who had but a snip of information from Daniel and they looked. They believed it, and they kept looking. Pass it down from generation to generation, from scientist to scientist. Now let me tell you what you're going to be looking for. You're going to be looking for the star of this king of the earth, be the king of the Jews. Watch for that. That's a great day in history. And that was passed down from the science school, the next scientist, and the next scientist. Astrology. And they studied it. The Jews had all this information, and they ignored it. Just ignored it. Paid no attention to it. To the prophecies. When Messiah came, fulfilling all of these prophecies and many more that we didn't cover, what did they do? They crucified him. They sent him over to be crucified. And they are still suffering today from their rejection of the Messiah. But we need to understand something about the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ's birth. Has a lot in each one of these. The one we've looked at, we just looked at the prophecy, but there's so much involved in each of the prophecies. Let's go back and let me tell you, give you an idea of what I'm talking about. He shall be of the offspring of the woman who shall bruise the serpent's head. What does this tell you? The Messiah will be a member of the human race. That's what it tells you. Equal with man, and since he is God, equal with God. It's not just the sign that he would be born of a woman, but that means he will be one of us. He'll be a member of the human race. Secondly, he will be of the tribe of Judah. This in order to fulfill the blessings given to Jacob to Judah in Genesis 49:8-13. Namely, verse 10. Let me read verse 10 again to you. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until the one whose it belongs comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the prophets. So it's a fulfillment of the prophecy given that they would be able to say, this one is of Judah. Third, and I love the third one, he will be born of Bethlehem of Judea. Now, there's so much involved here, and we studied it one year. But let me just say, this is the fun of God. This is where God had fun with Satan. Because Scripture says, he will be out of Egypt, he will be out of Bethlehem, and he'll be a Nazarene. Well, where's he going to be? We don't know where he's going to be. See? Satan didn't know. So what did he do? He killed a lot of babies out of Bethlehem. Maybe that's it. He kept trying. Couldn't figure it out. This is God having fun with Satan. Then the fourth one. He will be born of a virgin. A sign? Absolutely. That's rare. That's unusual. That's impossible. See? Okay. What does that mean? He will be born minus an inherited sin nature. The man passes on the sin nature. Women have them. They're carriers. But men pass them on. Not having a man involved, he's not going to have an inherited sin nature. So while it is a sign, something important, it is historically valuable in understanding what's happened in history in regard to Jesus Christ. Kings come and bring him gifts and fall down and worship him. Gentiles will seek him. That's what that tells them. Gentiles will seek him. Magi will seek him. We don't. We don't seek him. We're not that interested in him. We've got our fulfillment in our sacrifices, in our doing the law. The next Saturday night, next Sunday morning, I'm going to study what all of this means to us about how we can read the Bible and miss it. People, the Jews thought just by doing certain things, they were in with God. We're going to study how so many people miss it today. Let's just take morality. Morality is not for morality's sake. Just because someone is moral doesn't make them wonderful before God. Not at all. But morality has an important part in why we're here. But that's not what its objective is. So we're going to take a look at how we've missed it. Now the sixth one, born the stated seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, what did that tell us? It's going to be pure Jew. So there's so much that they've learned just by studying this. Be born of a woman, member of the human race, virgin birth, no sin nature. See? And he would be of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the king of the line of David. On and on and on. There's no way you can miss it. The Magi, Gentiles, from far away, went all the way to Bethlehem. Looking for him. They didn't. The high priest, the scribes, the Pharisees, what did they do? They sat there in Jerusalem. Oh, we can't have this. Well, that's what it said. We can't have that happening. Not in our lifetime. So they missed it. And they missed it terribly. And they crucified him. Hand him over to be crucified by the Romans. You can't blame just the Jews. Martin Luther got very upset with the Jews for crucifying Christ that he was anti-Semitic. Let me tell you something. The Jews didn't crucify him. The Romans did. So if you're going to get mad at the Jews, get mad at the Gentiles too. Get mad at everybody, including yourself and your own ancestry. Because we're all guilty of crucifying him in that sense, if you're going to take it that way. So, they missed it. But there is so much that we miss. And our New Year's special, starting Saturday night and the first Sunday of 2017, we're going to look at the commands and the challenges given to us. We don't want to miss them. They missed them. We don't want to miss them. So I hope you all have a very wonderful Christmas day. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for every day. But we thank you for today. We celebrate your grace, how your love saw a need and met that need. Jesus Christ, out of his love for you, offered himself a ransom. Father, we just thank you for this day. And if we received any gifts, it wasn't the gift that's important. It's a token of the greatest gift given to us by you. And we respect that. And we never forget that. Father, we pray, thank you for our passage this morning, our study this morning. Pray your spirit can settle in our souls. We have an understanding of these things. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.